You are listening to The Evidence Locker. Our cases have been researched using open source and archive materials. It deals with true crimes and real people. Each episode is produced with the utmost respect to the victims, their families, and loved ones. On the 22nd of June, 1991, Charles Holden worked the 4 to 11 p.m. shift at his factory job. On his way home, he stopped for a hamburger. When he reached his pickup truck in the parking lot, a man approached him, asking if he could give him a ride into Georgetown. He said that his sister was having a baby and he needed to go to the hospital. Charles said he was not going all the way, but as he was headed in the same direction, he could take him part of the way. Charles drove for 3 miles down Highway 14, then stopped at an intersection. This was about half a mile from his house. He pulled over and told the man that was how far he was going. He did not want the hitchhiker to see where he lived. The man became agitated and demanded Charles took him all the way into Georgetown. When Charles refused, he threatened to hijack him and launched an attack on Charles. Charles jumped out of the car. The hitchhiker found a screwdriver in the truck and chased after Charles. When he caught up with him, he threatened to kill Charles if he didn't take him into Georgetown. Charles was frightened, and realizing he had no choice, he agreed. They made their way back to the truck. Fortunately for Charles, he was behind the steering wheel and ready to go before the man could reach the passenger side door, so he sped off. He was rattled, uncertain about what had just taken place. Charles decided to drive around for a while instead of going home. He was afraid the hitchhiker would see his truck at his home and continue the attack. After a while, when he felt the coast was clear, he made his way home, which was a trailer on his mother's farm. Unbelievably, as he drove up the long drive to his home, he saw the man walking around the house. Charles drove back into town to go and call police. Police came and looked at Charles's trailer, but there was no sign that it had been broken into. That is when he asked them to go into the farmhouse where his mother was to check if she was okay. When they walked around the house, they saw that the back door window was broken and that there was blood inside, like the intruder had cut himself on the glass. Once they entered the home, Charles called for his mother. There was no answer. Dorothy usually waited up till Charles came home, so it was strange that she was not answering. Charles and the police officer found the 70-year-old Dorothy Donovan murdered in her bedroom. It was a very bloody scene. She was stabbed in the torso and on her face. Because of the overkill, police believed it was someone who knew her well. Her body was posed. It looked like she had been sexually assaulted. She also had a pillow covering her head, making police think her assailant knew her. Nothing was missing from the home. Dorothy's purse was still there with everything inside. The motive could not have been robbery. When Charles saw his mother's body, he made a strange statement. He said, I can't believe he killed her. At this point, Charles admitted that he knew the man whom he saw on his mother's property. It was a man who was hitchhiking, and Charles had refused to give him a ride earlier that night. Charles said he knew it sounded ridiculous, but he thought the man had killed his mother because he was pissed off that Charles wouldn't give him a ride. Dorothy's autopsy revealed that she had been stabbed to death. What the actual murder weapon was could not be determined, but it was a sharp object, like a screwdriver. Police did not believe Charles and thought that he was responsible for his mother's death. The story of the hitchhiker made no sense at all. Also, the timeline did not add up. They did not find it plausible that the man could have made it to Dorothy's home from the intersection and killed her in the time that Charles said he had been driving around. It was half a mile away. Also, how could the man possibly know which house was Charles's, and that Dorothy was Charles's mother? Police looked into the mother and son relationship and found out that Dorothy had taken out an accidental death life insurance policy shortly before she was murdered, the beneficiary being none other than her son, Charles. He had some farming debt, and the insurance money would have taken care of that. When police accused Charles of killing his mother, he was completely shocked and denied it all. He had no criminal record, and police suggested he took a polygraph test. But he refused, and this made him look even more suspicious. Forensic technicians processed the scene at the farmhouse and found blood on the light switch in the bedroom that did not belong to Dorothy or Charles. But they could not find anyone to match it to. On the handrail leading upstairs, there was one clear, bloody palm print. They compared it to Charles Holden's prints, and it wasn't a match. This made police believe that Charles had hired the person to kill his mother in order to get her life insurance money. Eyewitnesses backed up Charles' story about the hitchhiker in the Hardee's parking lot. They said that there was a black man going around asking for a ride. Witnesses also saw a man like the one Charles described getting into Charles' truck. Another witness also saw Charles being attacked inside of his truck at the intersection near his home. A description of the hitchhiker was made public. He was a slender, black male in his late 20s or early 30s in 1995, with large eyeglasses. He had pockmarks on his skin. Police showed Charles a photo lineup of known criminals in the area who fitted the description. Charles pointed to one man, a man by the name of Richard Mitchell. The witnesses from the Hardee's also picked out the same suspect from the photo lineup. 33-year-old Richard Mitchell looked almost identical to the composite sketch. He had a record for forgery and petty theft, but had not committed any violent crimes in the past. Police went to his home in Harrington, Delaware. It was a dead end. He had a full beard. The suspect was clean-shaven. Mitchell also had an alibi, and his palm print did not match the print at the scene. Although there was no evidence against him, everyone still blamed Charles. 10 years after the murder, the National DNA Database, CODIS, could be used in unsolved cases. The FBI entered the DNA profile of the blood found at the scene in November 2005. It was only in the system for a week before they found a match. The DNA found at Dorothy Donovan's murder scene belonged to career criminal Gilbert Cannon. He had spent time in prison on drugs and robbery charges. He had also served time for a murder committed in 1997. At the time his match came up in CODIS, in Dorothy's case, he was out of prison. He was a local resident of Delaware, but when police went looking for him, he was nowhere to be found. They finally tracked him down 2 months later at his girlfriend's home in Selbyville, not far from Dorothy Donovan's farm. Cannon denied any involvement. When police confronted him with the DNA evidence as well as the palm print evidence, he had to admit his involvement. He caved and said that he was ready to talk. He said that on the night of the 22nd of June, 1991, he went out. He was high on cocaine. He was looking for more when he asked Charles for a ride to Georgetown. The rest of his story corroborated Charles' story from a decade earlier. After Charles had taken off, Gilbert walked on. He saw a house that had its lights off and looked empty. He broke into the house as he wanted to sleep. He still had Charles' screwdriver in his hand. When Dorothy woke up, he attacked her, killing her in a drug-fueled rage. He said that he acted alone and that he had no idea whatsoever that Charles and Dorothy were related in any way. The fact that he chose Dorothy's house was pure coincidence. Charles was finally vindicated. Even his family doubted his story all those years. But at last, the truth was out. He had nothing to do with his mother's death. Gilbert Cannon pleaded guilty and was sentenced to life without parole. The violence of the attack was not what they thought. It was not overkill because the killer knew his victim and had a personal motivation, but rather because he was high on crack cocaine. This was the Evidence Locker. Thank you for listening.